Today is the 19th of December. Yeah. 19th of December.
Just turned over to
20. Zilso, the 21st of Kislev, Tavshin Pei. And here we are. So we are Musar Day of Perek Zion of Devarim. And there is interesting, there's an essay here in Imre Baruch from Rabbi Simon, which he points out the following challenge. The pasuk tells the very, and this is the way we have a bridge as well from Parshas Veschana to Parshas Ikev. So the end of Parshas, so Veschana concludes with the following pasuk. V'shamarta esam mitzvah v'yasachukim v'yasamishpatim. So you will observe the commandment and all of the decrees and all the laws. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom la'asosam, which I am commanding you today to do. So Rashi says, Rashi just makes this somewhat innocent comment, Hayom la'asosam, ulamachar li'olam haba litol scharam. That in this world you're going to do the mitzvos, and in the next world is where you're going to get your reward for doing the mitzvos. Okay? So far, so good. This is a concept. It's somewhat frustrating. Like, you know, we like to be able to see some instant reward and you know, some instant validation. What?
Air
22 is Erevin. Source. Oh, Erevin. That's the source, right? It's Gemara Masechet that says that idea. Right, but okay, fine. That the end of that really the reward for mitzvos is going to be in the next world, not in this world. Then you turn the page, and we often we think about sort of Parshas Ikev as a distinct parsha. You know, you go from week to week. Who's gonna? Maybe they think you're not gonna remember from the week before. But the first pasuk in Parshas Ikev is Vaya Ikev Tishmun Es Mishpatim Eilu Ushmartem Asisem Osam. That will be that since. Or the reward for you keeping all of these laws and doing them, and you're going to watch the bris and the chesed, asher nishba le'avosecho, you'll safeguard all the things, v'heivcha uveirachecha v'hirbecha, so he will love you, he will bless you, he will multiply you, uveirach pri bitnecha ufri admasecha, d'ganecha v'siyurshcha v'yitzarcha, shigalafecha v'asherosunecha aldemasher nishbacha l'avosecha l'aseislach. I love you, he'll give you grain and wine and all the oils, offsprings, cattle, and the flocks of your sheep and your goats, all will be good on the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. So what does that sound like? It sounds like if you do all the mitzvos, so Hashem will take care of you. And this doesn't seem to be, maybe you could come up with, conjure up ways that this is really referring to Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, but the simple explanation in the Pasuk is, in Olam Hazeh, right? In this world, you're going to be taken care of. You're going to have rain at the right time, and you're going to have grain, you're going to have the grapes will grow, and your flocks will grow. Everything's going to be fine in Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Tiyem Mikol Amim, you'll be the most blessed of all the nations, and nobody's going to compare to you. So that those sound like very Olam Hazeh type things. So in the space of one pasuk, yes, there is a division in the Torah scroll between the two, but really in the place of one pasuk, there is this dramatic shift from being talking about Olam reward coming in Olam Haba, as it seems to say at the end of Parshas Va'aschanan, to it coming in Olam Hazeh. So how are we to understand that? Yes.
Here.
I don't know. Okay. Maybe Adam is referring to ground, and Eretz is
lines.
Like, yeah, but and Eretz is.
Could be more this world.
You mean in the beginning of Ikev it says Adama?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Adama is referring to like things that grow from the ground. You don't really say things that grow from the land. Well, I guess you do. I don't know. Things that grow from is referring to the ground itself, as opposed to land is an area of land. Right, we don't refer to when you buy a property, you don't say I just bought a lot of ground. You say an acre of land, not an acre of ground. Right? Okay, maybe not sure. You could ask the linguist in the other room. So how do we understand that? So he suggests based on he brings here from an idea from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon suggests that the reward for mitzvos themselves can't really be in this world, because reward for mitzvos is something that is full of kedusha, full of sanctity. And there's no way to constrain within this world any appropriate reward that would be for mitzvos that are everlasting. Okay? If that's the case, so then what's it telling us in the beginning of Parshas Eikev? So he suggests, the beginning of Parshas Eikev is not talking about the actual doings of the mitzvos, but rather it's talking about the preparations for the mitzvos and the things that are added onto mitzvos. That's something that perhaps we can relate to better in this world. And he suggests that, and the Vilna Gaon says this with regards to a somewhat cryptic medrash that appears in Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera, the pasuk tells us, "By Yom Hashli Vayisa Aaron Avraham Esenav." That was the third day, and Avraham raised his eyes. He saw the place from afar, and then so he says to Yitzhak, says to the other people, "You're going to stay here, and me and Yitzhak, we're going to go there." So that is that Vahiba Yom Hashishi. So the Midrash says, yeah. And see what else does it say? Yechayenu miyamayim b'yom hashlishi yekameinu v'nichi lefanov. The pasuk in Hosea, he will heal us from an ordeal of 2 days. On the third day, he'll raise us, and we will live before him. So the Midrash quotes several psukim, several possibilities as to what this could be relating to. But the Vilna Gaon says, nah. The mitzvah itself is the Yom HaShlishi. And therefore, the Yom HaShlishi refers to being in front of Hashem. That's going to be in the next world. But what about the first 2 days? The first 2 days have to do with Hachana for the mitzvah. So the first 2 days was traveling to do the mitzvah. He says, that could be in this world. Right? Yechayenu miyamayim, he will heal us from an ordeal of 2 days. That's the hachanos of the mitzvah, the preparations for the mitzvah, that we can request, demand for in this world. But the mitzvah itself, that's going to be challenging in order to get to be able to get in this world. And he quotes here from Divrei Yoel. Divrei Yoel is the Sakhmer Rav, right? So Rav Yoel Teitelbaum. Teitelbaum, yes. So he explains this, that we get reward, schar al hachan l'mitzvah gam b'olam hazeh. We get reward for this preparation in this world, as we can understand from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah tells in Maseches Bechoros, hanotel schar ladun dinim b'telim, that a person who takes payment for judgments, so his dinav are b'telim. His judgments are then nullified. Now, how exactly does that work? Most Bati Dinim do request some amount of charge. How does that work? So, another time. Similarly, Lahaid Edusa Batalin. Similarly, if you take money for your testimony, so your testimony is also going to be batal. And Lahazos Ulakadesh, and if you take money for the sprinkling and for the sanctifying, what's that talking about? So those are the halachos for the Paraduma. If you take a charge to sprinkle somebody with the paraduma, miyamav meimara v'afro afar miklas. So the water is as if it came from a cave, and the ashes is as if it came from wood. Meaning, we're not going to count that as being an appropriate sprinkling of the paraduma water. Whether that's practical or not, I'm not sure. But the Gemara asks the following question. It says, wait a second, Urmanu, the Gemara asks, Hamakadish b'mei chatas b'afar chatas, ha'reza mekudeshes afapishu Yisrael. That if somebody says, I'm hereby going to be makdish, means that they do kedushin with a woman, based on the, ha'reab mekudeshes li b'afar zu. Or with this paraduma stuff, so that works even though the person is Israel and it's normally sprinkled by a kohen. So Amar Abai, so Abai responds by saying Lo kasha kan bischar haba umilave kan bischar hazavik kiddush. He says no problem. When it talks about that you can get payment for the sprinkling, it says no. That's talking about the carrying of it to bring it to the place that you could request payment for. But the actual mitzvah itself, so that you're not going to, that has no value. That's priceless. Right? The actual moment of the mitzvah itself, that's considered priceless. And a person's allowed to get, so this is the same idea, that with regards to preparations for mitzvahs, that a person perhaps can benefit from in this world, it will receive schar in this world. That's the preparations of mitzvahs. From the mitzvah itself, so that a person is not going to be able to get in this world. So So then he suggests one more. This is actually a pretty long piece, but he suggests one more point. So how do we see that? Meaning, what exactly was that division? Right? We seem to have a contradiction in Psukim. One seems to talk about getting reward in the next world. One seems to be talking about reward in this world. So where do we see Vahaya Ikev Tishmu? How do we know which one is which? Why are you saying, oh, well, one is talking about the mitzvah itself, and one is talking about the preparation for mitzvah. So the Vilna Gaon gave sort of already got a little bit of a svara to it, a little bit of an idea, to say that because the mitzvah itself is so sanctified, it's so kadosh, it can't be in this world. But other things, the things that we do for it, so that perhaps we can get comparable schar, we could see comparable schar in this world. So he goes on and says, no. Vahaya ikev tishmun. What is the Rashi comments? Im hamitzvos hakalus she'odom dash be'akvav tishmun. The mitzvos, the light mitzvos, Rashi says, that a person normally pushes down with their ankles. So the Rabbeinu Bechai goes a little bit further and says that the lashon of ekev, right, talks about the language of the foot. So azhara la'adam al hamitzvos she'adam dash ba'akov shelo yakal behen, that a person pushes down, they shouldn't be lenient with those mitzvos that they seem to like push down. They're not so concerned, they've pushed them down. So Chazal tells us ki onesh hamitzvah she'adam mizalzal behen. The Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah already tells us the punishment for mitzvahs that a person is mizalzal with. V'dashu san ba'akva b'olam hazeh, they push it down with their ankles in this world. Makif oso liyom hadin, forces them to come to a yom hadin, as the pasuk says, avon ikvi yisoveni, that the sins of my ankle, that they will encompass me. What is that talking about? So that Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah is referring to one of the... Is it Yochanan ben Trajan? I forget. One of the Harugi Malchus that we discuss on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. So it's in the context of that Gemara. But the Gemara says that when he taught Torah, so not only did he get in trouble, his wife got in trouble, and his daughter got in trouble. And in fact, the Gemara even makes a comment that they were responsible, actually imposes upon him some responsibility for it. I mean, why did he die in this way? Because apparently Gemara accuses him of saying Hashem's name, the full name, of not being careful with the usage of Hashem's name. And then why did his wife get in trouble? His wife got in trouble because she wasn't mocha. She didn't protest against her husband. And the daughter, so him and his wife both got killed. And his daughter was forced into a base zonos, a house of prostitution. So I asked, why did she get stuck there? So the Gemara says, well, because one time she was very pretty, and she was walking on the street once, and she overheard some Roman soldier say to the other one, you know, like, right? And she said, and I concentrated on the way I walked a little bit. I mean, I was like flattered by that, and I concentrated on the way I walked, which aroused the Yetzer even more. So therefore, she got put in a place, I believe the way Rashi interprets it, she got put in a place where her Yetzer was going to be tested. But the comment there the Gemara makes is based on this pasuk, avon beikvi yosavenu, the sins of my ankle that they will encompass me. And perhaps that alludes to also the mitzvahs that a person has to walk to. That there is a mitzvah, there are mitzvahs that a person does, and then there's also the preparation for it. So even the preparation for it has some leniencies connected to that mitzvah itself. So for example, the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, we'll be in the Daf Yomi within the next couple of weeks, right? So finishing Nida soon. Shafilu b'Shabbos, that even on Shabbos, it's mutilo larutz lebeis haknesses. It's permissible to run to shul, even though on regular Shabbos one is supposed to take slower steps, smaller steps and walk slowly. Has anybody ever seen this, by the way? This is an idea that one's not supposed to walk fast on Shabbos. You should take our time walking home from shul. So I had the experience, I have a cousin, not even exactly sure, the relationship always loses me, but his family, the Kleinman family, they were able to take care of my grandfather when he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. When my grandfather, before the war, was able to escape and able to make it to Israel, so this family sort of took him in. So they're our cousins, even though I'm not sure how we're related. But he's a mashkiach in he was a mashkiach in Yeshiva Ateres Yisrael, which is in Bayit Vegan, and he lived down the block. So when I was learning in Israel, I went to his house for Shabbos a few times, and he lived, I don't know, a block and a half away from the yeshiva. It took a half hour to walk home. I was walking slowly. Every single time somebody passed by, stops, like put his feet together, not like a Shabbos, keeps walking, stops. A guten Shabbos. We keep walk. So that's the idea. But that's only on the way home from shul. On the way to shul, as one is on their way to do a mitzvah, so one is permitted to walk as quickly as they are as necessary in order to make sure that they're able to get there. So we see that it's not just the mitzvah itself, but even the preparation for the mitzvahs is included in that. And in fact, there is an interesting Gemara in Maseches Sota that seems to explain what this is. So the Mishnah says, actually, it's a somewhat, it's one of these Mishnahs that like you read and go like, oh, what in the world is that talking about? But the Mishnah lists a couple of people that are not considered that we're nervous about that we don't consider them to be in the highest level. And one of the women, where is it? And one of the women that are listed is an Isha Purusha, an ascetic woman. Meaning, it sounds like she sort of ignores Olam Hazeh, and she's considered me heavily Olam. She's considered those people that are destroying the world. So the Gemara scratches his head and strokes his beard and says, huh? What are you talking about? Right? That's usually considered to be a pretty good thing. Right? So, Tanur Ban Mesulah Vitzora Tzalyanis, V'almanah Shovavis, V'katan Shelo Kalulo Chadashav. So, a prayerful maiden, and Almana Shovis, a neighborly widow, and Makatan Shelo Kalo Chadashas, or a minor who has not yet, whose months aren't yet complete. So the Gemara is going to have to explain what all those things mean. So all of them, Hare Elu Mevali Olam, all of them are the rulers of the world. So what does it mean? Yiras, so Eini, right? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lamanu Yiras Chit Mi Besula, V'kibol Skar Mi Almana. Right, we learn the idea of fear of sin from a Besula, and an acceptance of reward from an Almana. So why are you getting Besulos and Almanos in trouble? Right, we seem to have a Gemara that seems to. So where's the source for that? And now this is the positive aspect of it. I mean, the Gemara is going to have to give an example of where it's a negative. But here's the Gemara asks it, but it's positive. Yiras Chit Mi Besula, how do we see that? How do we see the idea of fear of sin from a Besula? The Rabbi Yochanan Shama Lehi Besulos. Rabbi Yochanan once overheard a certain Besula, a certain young girl saying, the Nafla up of a Kamra, that she fell on her face and said, Rabbona Sholem Barasa Gan Edom Barasa Gehenim, Barasa Tzadikim Barasa Rishayim, Yiratzon Lefanecha Shalu Yikashlu Bivinei Adam. May be real that not that men don't stumble into sin because of me. That she would be concerned that that men would sin because they saw her. Okay, that would arouse their Yitzhahara. So she's David to Hashem, please don't let that happen. Fine. Kibel schar mi almana. Where do we learn the idea of reward from an almana? This is again a Gemara in Sota, Daf Chaf Beis Amar Aleph. He says, Kibel schar mi almana, dahi almana dahavai bekenishta bishi bevusa. That there was a certain almana, a widow, that she had a shul in her neighborhood. But yet, kol yuma hava asya umatzalach bei midrashe de Rabbi Yochanan. But nevertheless, every day she went to Rabbi Yochanan's base medrash. Why is that? So Amar Allah, Rabbi Yochanan once asked her, "Biti lo beis haknesses b'shiva v'sach." Right? Do you not have a shul in your own neighborhood? Why do you come all the way here? So Amar Allah, she said, "Rabbi, I love your drashas." No. Nobody has ever said that. Rather, they say, Rebbe, below scarp, seoshiashli, says, don't I get reward for coming here to daven? Right? So that was her thing. Because I want to get more scar, I want to get more reward for all the distance I travel. So, a little difficult here. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah himself discusses, like, wait a second, is that a thing, right? to walk to a further shul rather than a closer shul in order to get more reward for distance. But at least, you know, I'm not sure we're making a halachic judgment as much as a hashkafic judgment, that she is attempting to do hachanus of the mitzvah in order to be able to get more reward. So Gemara, by the way, answers. Gemara says, you're right, all those women are tzidkanios, all those women are righteous women. Rather, what were we talking about? The women that were mavli olam, ki k'amar kagon yochani bar retivi. This woman named Yochani bar retivi, she's a bad, bad woman. Right? What does it mean that she's a bad, bad woman? So the Rashi here explains, oh yeah, I'll tell you. She was not only was she an almana, she was also a sorceress. And when a woman were going to give birth, so she would put in some spell that would close their wombs so that they wouldn't be able to give birth, right? That would get pretty painful. So she'd hear these women crying in pain. So she'd go over and say, "Oi, Gewalt, let me offer a prayer on your behalf." And she would offer a prayer, remove the spell, and everybody thought that she was this wondrous woman, right? So that ascetic, that wondrous woman, that's the one that are mavle, that are considered to be mavle old. Okay.
Munchausen syndrome, isn't that?
Yes, there is something like that, right? I forget the exact pronunciation, but yes. Yeah.
You cause pain so you can offer solace.
Said you'll be able to be the one to be able to save those, yes. Yes. Yeah. So anyways, that's the... So that's that Gemara. So that's an example... So it could be that often you'll have to go to various places in order to be able to get that reward. So the Satmar Rav says, he quotes the name of his grandfather, the Yitav Lev. Like a lot of Satmar yeshivas, a lot of them are called Yitav Lev. I think Yitav Lev was sort of Moshe Teitelman. I'm not sure, I forget the name, but that was one of the Svarim from the earlier Satmar Ravs. So he says, the Pasuk tells, what bracha do we make every morning? Hamechin mitzadeh gaver. What does that mean? What does it mean? Hamachim mitzadeh gaver, that he forms the footsteps of man. So why don't we say blessed Hashem gives us the ability to hit with a tennis racket or something, right? Why do we only praise Hashem for the footsteps of man? And why do we only talk about praise Hashem that he's able to walk around? And why can't we praise Hashem that he's able to sit in his house and relax? So rather, the Pshat, he's quotes from the Baal Shem Tov is, the Pasuk tells us in Tehillim, May Hashem mitzadei gaver konano, v'darko yachbots, that from Hashem, the footsteps of a man are established, and his ways found fine favor. What does that mean? That all the footsteps of a person, are coming from Hashem. That Hashem wants people to go to various places, that are close to their neshama, and Hashem will lead them that way. But a person themselves, he thinks that he's going to a place where he needs to go. So the fact that he's giving an offering, he's davening, he's thanking Hashem, thank you Hashem, that even though I'm going where I think I need to go, you're taking me where I need to go. And that's the bracha. You're taking us to those specific places to where I need to go in order so that I'll be able to fix them. So what do we see from here as well? The idea of hechsher mitzvah, the idea of preparation for the mitzvah. So that is considered that's considered an important thing, and one that we're able to benefit and able to get schar and able to get a reward from. And this also perhaps has to do with the idea of we spoke about this last Pesach, the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, the issue of mitzvah bo yosher mi b'shlucha, that there are a couple of examples where that idea, even though it's a very prominent idea, the idea that, it's better for a person to do the things themselves than for them to have other people do it. So there aren't, the truth is, it only appears in the Gemara like once. The Gemara beginning of Maseches Kedushin, that says that a person should, when they do Kedushin, they should do it themselves. Better that they do it themselves than rather than then do it as a shliach. And the Gemara's example there also is also the preparations of Shabbos. The preparation for Shabbos, mitzvah b'yosher b'shlucho, everybody should be involved. That idea of mitzvah b'yosher b'shlucho is invoked, the reason we talked about it Pesach, is that it's invoked in part of baking matzos. So there's an idea of people being involved in the baking of the matzos because mitzvah bo yosher mibishlucho, because it's better for them to be involved in the mitzvah. So that was always a question, like how far does that go? There's plenty of things that we do today that that we have mitzvahs being done by convenience. Meaning, is there an idea that we should go fly to Israel and pick our own esrog? Maybe. But it's not invoked lahalacha. I mean, why is that specifically? Why is that case specifically invoked lahalacha? So that was a halacha question which we raised then. But the concept of mitzvah yosher mibishlucho is to show that we don't just appreciate the mitzvah itself, but also the preparations for it. And where there is a specific mitzvah incumbent upon us sometimes there is a specific mitzvah related to preparation for the mitzvahs. For example, preparations for Shabbos, and therefore the concept of mitzvah bo yosher mibishlucho is going to be invoked there. I meant to bring, although everything's in the other room anyways, I meant to bring, that of course brings about the famous, which is very relevant to this time of year, the famous footnote in Al HaTshuva, in Rav Salveitchik's Al HaTshuva, he didn't write, but based on his Tshuva drushes, so both the Hebrew and the English, there's one big footnote like in the entire book, and I'm not sure there's any other ones, where he laments the loss of the Erev Shabbos Shu. We've talked about this before, but he talks about how in America we have Jews that are Shomer Shabbos. This is speaking in the 50s and 60s, where it wasn't so easy to be a Shomer Shabbos Jew. But you know, we have Jews that are Shomer Shabbos, and something that we have lost here is the Erev Shabbos, in the Erev Shabbos Jew, the Jew who is able to spend the time on Erev Shabbos preparing and getting themselves ready for the celebration of Shabbos. So we should be able to keep in mind to put emphasis not just in making sure the mitzvah itself happens, but also making sure the hachanos, the appropriate preparations, are done as well. As more to be said on this as well, but maybe we'll stop here just in time for Bruce to show up.